I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't wanna do. Sit in the cubicle miserable as I slave away. Getting complacent with life as my dreams fade away. Nah, motivation to go harder. I'd rather spit that real than probably die harder.
Good morning, good evening, good night, folks. This is your 5 Tool Sports Podcast host, Woody Massey, and I'm here with all the tools today.
Hey.
Welcome back. The infamous Jedi Master, Nasty Nate Parker.
Thank you very much. It's good to be back.
I know, parole, baby.
No parole. Or parole's over? I gotta do my weekly check-ins with my officer, my parole officer, CS.
Sure, I know, I had a talk with his parole officer. He's allowed to do the podcast. He's under my guidance right now, so, you know. Got to keep my money.
I'm back in on a good behavior release.
Yeah. Well, welcome back. Perfect timing. Playoffs just ended. My chair is a little freaky.
Where's that WD-40?
Yeah, I gotta get some. So
you know something I've noticed, Woody? I'm sorry to cut you off, but I've noticed that it stopped creaking when you were, you know, actively doing your CrossFit thing. And over the past few weeks, it seems to have creaked a little more.
Woody, you quit your CrossFit?
No, I didn't quit. I just got COVID. Then my girl got COVID. And then yeah. I'm going to go back today or tomorrow.
Props to you for not being a super spreader.
Now the weights have COVID.
Well, yeah,
essentially. They've already been counted. Weight gain is a symptom, so.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, well, let's stop making me want to kill myself.
It's long COVID.
So we have a little bit of news before we get into the playoff action this weekend. We're going to go over the games real quick, talk about what's going on next week. The Raiders fired Mayock, their GM. He was a pretty good drafter. I don't know if he was caught up in the email scandal and they were just waiting. Couldn't fire both of them till after the season. But it seems like the Raiders are ready to tear it all down and start a real rebuild. I imagine they keep most of the defense, but I could see Derek Carr on his way out this season too.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's my biggest question is what are they going to do with Derek Carr? What is the plan for the future?
No, 100%. Well, I think Derek Carr is like the bait to try to lure Davante Adams from Green Bay to Vegas, right? So it remains to be seen. However, you know, I'm kind of befuddled by, are they going to keep Rich Bisaccia? I'm not good when it comes to Italian names.
They're not.
So they're letting him walk too. Yeah. Okay, so they're letting GM and the interim head coach walk.
Have they let him go?
They haven't let him go, but they're going to let him go.
So the rumor here, and based on what I know from the research that I've done, you guys know the Jim Harbaugh situation, been following that really close.
Jim Harbaugh?
Yeah, did you not know that? I know, right?
Wait, Brandon's a Michigan fan?
No, yeah, that's true. I'll proudly proclaim that right now.
Brandon, what happened on October 30th, 2021?
Don't take the bait, Brandon.
It doesn't even matter.
What happened on October 30th, 2011?
I want to know what's going on with Rich Bisaccia and the.
That's
the
true.
Vegas.
So it's looking like there's a candidate out there that was, with the Raiders, GM candidate. Yeah, there's a GM candidate out there that was with the Raiders, Ed Dodds, when Jim Harbaugh was an assistant. He was like a quarterback's coach back in the day with the Raiders. So there's some smoke there. Harbaugh hasn't signed anything, hasn't said anything or made a statement about staying with the University of Michigan. There's a rumor that there's a contract on the table for him. So there's a good shot that this thing could go that route. Ed Dodds being the new GM and Harbaugh being announced as the head coach probably anytime, honestly. But I mean, rumors, speculation at this point, a lot of people think he stays at Michigan still, but I mean, where there's smoke, there's fire, and it just keeps pointing in that direction.
Interesting. Who outside of Harbaugh can we see as a potential fit there with the Raiders, especially if they're going to go to, if they're targeting Davante Adams, they're obviously want to go into a passing attack.
I think you're more likely to see the current head coach get a Freddie Kitchens contract than you are to see any massive movement. Yeah, especially after Derek Carr came out and as well as I believe Max Crosby came out in support of him. I'd see it more likely as him getting like a prove it contract because he did so well in keeping the team together.
He deserves that. Yeah, I mean, look, I agree. He weathered the storm. Look at what Vegas went through this year. They started the year off good, had all of these distractions, people, you know, threatening people online and killing people. And then you had a racist coach. So for him to galvanize that team and bring them together and still make a playoff push and to still have a chance down to the final possession, you know, it speaks volumes. And the guy's been around football and around the NFL for decades. Why wouldn't you want a guy that has that amount of knowledge and experience to be somewhere on your sideline or to be the head coach on that sideline? I mean,
yeah.
This Why just not? In, guys. The 49ers, Jimmy Garoppolo, has a slightly sprained shoulder. Do we see some Trey Lance round two of the playoffs?
No. Wasn't he injured? He had like an injured finger.
He was.
Yeah. I mean, this is just Jimmy G. When we hear reports about Jimmy G being hurt, it's not news. That's how I feel. I mean, Jimmy G is an oft-injured player that, for whatever reason, I don't think everyone likes to give him that label yet. But he's an injury-prone player.
He's too handsome.
Jimmy G's had the injury-prone tag since he was in New England.
Yeah. And look, to me, yeah, and maybe to you, Nate, yeah, but I feel like, generally speaking, I feel like Jimmy G gets, you know, a lot of second and third chances. I mean, he's good when he plays. He's not a bad player, but...
I mean, unless your opinion has changed, Jimmy G's good enough. Like, that's just good enough. He's above the Mendoza line, and he can get you to and possibly win you a Super Bowl under the right conditions.
But you know what? If you're that close to the Mendoza line, you know what I need you to be? What's the best ability, Nate?
Availability.
Exactly. No, 100%. So I need you to play 17 games if you're that close to the Mendoza line.
People are like, I hear rumors of in Niners fans saying that they're going to re-sign Jimmy Garoppolo. He's going to get paid. And I'm like, you don't trade the farm for Trey Lance if you're going to re-sign your current quarterback.
Yeah, right.
It makes sense, but they may have to. If he goes to another
Super Bowl, I would.
I mean, I wouldn't.
You can never have too many quarterbacks.
No, that's right.
All right, guys. So before we hop into the games, I have a question for the substitute. Is the Blicky full?
The Blicky is full.
Okay.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, everybody put everything on your desk away. Pencil. Take out a pencil, a piece of paper. Hold on for dear life.
I don't have any of that.
I'm extra ready.
Trying to figure out if I want to put the hollow points in or if I want to just go with the just, you know.
Nate's back. Hollow points.
Hollow points.
This is CSBN trivia?
Yes.
All right. And did I hear pencil and paper?
That was a joke.
It's a pop quiz.
All right. I apologize.
I've been calling him the substitute.
I thought there was like new rules because like we couldn't like I know hands up, but I was confused. I was like, do we have to write our answer down and then show it? Like, no. I mean, just saying, right. That might be a way.
Some game show rules.
What two active NFL players have the most All-Pro selections? And let's see. Nate, since this is your first day back, we'll let you go first, then we'll cut it to Woody, and then we'll let Brandon pull up the rear.
Oh.
Gonna say Tom Brady.
That's a good guess. You want me to come back to you for your second pick?
Sure, that'd be awesome.
All right, Woody?
I'll throw Levante David out there.
Okay, that's a good guess. Then, what you got for me, B-Lon?
Andrew Whitworth and Tom Brady.
All right, so you gave me your two already. Those are good guesses. Andrew Whitworth.
I was trying to think of an offensive lineman. That's a good one.
And Tom Brady.
Give me
We coming back around, kid in the corner of the class.
Girl.
Spit your gum out.
That chair is great.
It sound like
coming a staple of the show.
What you got, Nate?
I was trying to think of a punter, but I'm going to go Richard Sherman.
Richard Sherman. Okay. That's actually an impressive guess, actually. Because he's an active player.
Give me Robbie Gould.
Oh, wow. All right. So, just to review, I'm gonna ask the question one more time. And the question is, what two NFL players, what two active NFL players have the most All-Pro selections? All right. So, Nate, you gave me Richard Sherman and Tom Brady. Woody, you gave me Lavonte David and Robbie Gould. Brandon, you gave me Andrew Whitworth and Tom Brady. All of what, you know, just looking over this list are solid answers. But you're all wrong. And this is painful for me because on the surface it looks like, okay, this might be a tough question. But is it really that tough? What two active NFL players have the most All-Pro selections? Aaron Donald, come on. And Bobby Wagner.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. You know what? In my head, I mixed up all pro and like Pro Bowl.
Yep. That's the thing.
Oh, that's and what I look, did too.
Yeah. Exactly. Everyone makes the Pro Bowl nowadays.
Exactly.
Hell, I made the Pro Bowl back in 2018. Just Google me. My name's right on there somewhere.
Yeah.
But all pro is now that new. You know, because back in the day, everybody didn't get into the Pro Bowl. It was an honor to even be there. Now, you know, cats decline it, and then you have third and fourth alternate. So now it's all about the All-Pro teams. But Aaron Donald, Bobby Wagner, Woody, I'm disappointed because I thought you had a chance to definitely get both. I figured you'd definitely say Aaron Donald. And Bobby Wagner's like your favorite linebacker in the league.
It's, right, I was counting Pro Bowls in my head, not All-Pro. So that's yeah.
All good.
I'm ashamed. Moving on.
Aaron Donald with seven. Holy shit.
Taking an F home.
Strong.
And we're going to talk some games. Let's talk the first game. Raiders-Bengals. Bengals beat the Raiders 26-19. There's some controversy in this game, though, after the game was over. Joe Burrow threw a touchdown pass that he was about to step out of bounds, and the refs definitely blew a whistle, but they didn't stop the play, and they let Joe Burrow have a touchdown pass. And then after the game, the NFL was like, yeah, that player was dead.
And they was like, yeah, Jerome, you're not officiating any your crew's not officiating any more games the postseason, Jerome.
Get to the back, Jerome.
Yeah, this is, or they're is gonna, this a or theme they're gonna say, for the NFL. Say,
we want this to skew one way. Jerome, you can have this game.
Yeah.
This is why they need to be full-time and paid employees, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Give them $250K. I'll put in my application tomorrow if they start paying refs that much.
They make about
much.
That, actually.
I don't know if they make $250. I know they make good money. Mind you, 6 months out of the year.
Yeah, they make about $250.
Good benefits. You get to travel. You don't have to, you know, bring your family with you when you travel.
You get to squeeze Ed Hockley's arms. What?
Yeah. Look, I don't think this call was that egregious. I mean, look, it was an inadvertent whistle. I get it. If you look at the play and what was going to happen and the outcome of the play, whether a whistle was blown or not, it happened so fast, I don't think it would have changed the outcome of the play. Like
I agree with that.
It was bad officiating, look, we just want to blame the referees for everything, and we just sometimes can't.
I heard something the other day that refs are mixed up during playoffs, too. Like, they don't even work with the same crews that they work with through the season, which throws off their ability to have, like...
To call calls?
They have to communicate with one another.
Because of legalized gambling, they have to do that now because they're trying to prevent a Tim Donaghy situation.
Right, I understand. But
I think this is one of those times where replay review could have been implemented. Be like, well, stop it, rewind the clock.
They did.
Obviously.
They did review it.
No, replay review in the moment. Like after they don't blow the whistle, they stop it, they go hey, timeout, there's official review, here's the statement. It'll take them 90 seconds.
Hey, look, this is the thing, there's always going to be a gray area, right? 100%. So apparently this is one of the plays that couldn't be reviewed. Like, you can't review an inadvertent whistle or something like that. Or I don't know. Everything's not black and white, but I don't want to stay on this point for too long. I don't think it affected the outcome of the game. Ultimately.
No,
Just get that XFL Skycam thing down there with the dude in the box and we can.
And the Bengals, I mean, the NFL, let's be real, they want this Bengals team to go far in the playoffs. Like Joe Burrow, they're looking at as a top quarterback to take over as a face of the league when Tom Brady retires.
If I was the NFL, I'd be doing whatever it takes to get the Cowboys.
That's what I'm saying.
Super Bowl, right?
I mean, Jesus.
See, I was thinking about this the other day. And I think I stumbled onto something. They're not worried about the Cowboys going to the Super Bowl and being the face of the league because they're already the most popular franchise.
Right.
They want to grow the brands of the less popular team.
The league would make more money if Dallas, finishes last or just do what they did this year, right? I feel like the NFL makes more money from people hating on Dallas than they do the people who love Dallas.
Let's save our Dallas thoughts. The Raiders, they're going home. They're obviously, we already talked about them. They're starting to rebuild. Josh Jacob put out child 10 before the season started.
Wait, he has that many kids?
Bro, you haven't heard this? This blew my mind. This is better than the GOAT, Antonio Cromartie. He's got nine children. He's 23 years old. 23 years old. Nine children and 23 years old. Six different women.
That's gangster.
All confirmed?
All confirmed.
What?
That child
did he have
support
any of these kids
crazy.
When he was at Alabama?
Yes.
Damn, that's crazy.
Right, he's 23. He's 23 years old. He has nine children. Man's
who's
about
paying
to
for that
his own
at Alabama?
Team.
He has a lot to play for. He need to do a position change because right now he got two, three more years, and that's it.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Can you play linebacker?
I hope his accountant's real good at hiding that money.
Get some offshore accounts because man,
exactly.
He's putting it in a shoebox in his closet.
Yeah. Hey, this game, backyard.
Mason jars.
This game looked like it was going to get out of hand early, to be honest.
Yeah, it did.
But for whatever reason, the Vegas has that, like, they have that, that it that Dallas Cowboys have. You know, not the it that you want, but the it that. For whatever reason, we'll make sure we'll put ourselves behind the eight ball. We'll mess up as much as we can until the fourth quarter just to, keep our fans, string them along just so they'll be disappointed at the end.
Just give them a little bit of hope before
they
take
it
all the
way. They're all the way to plan C and D, and they're throwing the ball 54 times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Y'all be pimping your fans.
Yeah.
Patriots-Bills. Wow.
Let's go.
Wow. Pats 47, Bills 17. Perfect game. No interceptions. Not like Josh
no turnovers,
Allen.
No punts. No
Josh
field
Allen
goals.
Literally thought he threw the ball away at one point, turned his back, and then heard everyone celebrating. Was like, oh, I threw a touchdown.
Yeah. I mean, you guys, surely I didn't pick the New England Patriots to cover the 4.5-point spread.
I did. Ooh, what a call.
I did too.
Oh, my what a call.
No.
We were close.
Those are good.
Yeah. It's expected though that they probably should keep the game.
Well, where has Devin Singletary been all season? This man's running
right,
the ball.
Exactly.
Yeah, like we were just talking about that.
Thing. That's the thing is like the Bills are playing a top five Patriots defense, and they've played close all season. There's never been like a oh my god, one team is clearly better than the other. New England's never been out of a game like that all season.
No, but look, I think all right, two things. 6 weeks ago, everyone was on this New England bandwagon. Oh, they might be Super Bowl contenders. And I think the reason was because we expected Buffalo to do this to New England the first go round. And they didn't. And they lost. And then you see New England putting it on the Jets, putting it on the Browns. And so obviously we thought, the Patriots maybe had a little more in the wagon than they really did, is what it really came down to. I mean...
They got
I
after
consider,
Matt Jones.
I consider that,
too,
that until was... Indianapolis destroyed them. When Indy dumpstered the Pats, I was like, all right, well, these are the Pats.
No, that's real. That's real. New England were who we thought they were.
Quick question for y'all. With the Patriots going home before we talk about the Bills some more. Are we worried about how Matt Jones ended his season? Or is that just, the rookie wall?
Still rookie season. I don't think it's the wall. I think it's the amount of game tape that's out there. Now you can game plan on how to beat him, what he doesn't like. Now, look, for the last year, all four of us has been sitting up here telling you what Mac Jones was, what he's good at, what he probably would struggle at. And now, I guess the NFL front offices and the coaching staffs, they finally caught up to, us over here, little old pod. And they say, okay, if you don't give him the space.
Yeah.
If you make him make the tough throw, you know, he likes to put a lot of air under his balls. He's not really a zinger. He won't really put it in there. You'll see that at times, but that's not who he is. And I mean, that's just ultimately what it comes down to. But about this game, Brandon, I don't know if you remember this, but after the first go round when Buffalo lost to New England, when Mac Jones only threw the ball three times, my biggest gripe during that game, and it was 50-mile-per-hour winds, it was super cold, you couldn't throw the ball. I wondered, why is that offense not running the ball more with Josh Allen, quarterback sweeps, quarterback powers? Yeah. And then they come out against New England in the playoffs, and they start doing all of that stuff. Now, they didn't stick with it because they didn't have to. It became a blowout, which is what you want. You know, you don't want to have to run the quarterback powers all four quarters, but they started doing that. They got some traction, scored some
points.
Saved
it for the right time.
And
Yep, you got it. You hold it for when it matters most.
And they did.
You
know,
you're going to win games down the line. You're going to get in the playoffs. And if you face the Patriots again, then you're going to go and you're going to throw that at them. That's just another element.
I think we see here as well a glaring need in this game that we're going to continue to see until they actually do it. When you have a quarterback like Mac Jones with the weaker arm, that's just not – it doesn't have the best physical tools. They need a dominant wide receiver for when the game's on the line. They need a number one wideout.
Yeah. Jacoby Myers is good, but he's not
– they have the 2 through 4 right now. They need a just
– like, I think it's getting missed that, like, Bill was trying to block Buffalo's best pass rushers with tight ends. Like, you can't do that.
You're trying to chip them. Yeah, exactly. You're trying to get two guys on some of those guys for a momentary, you know, so you're going to chip and release and do all that good stuff. But, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Go ahead.
New England.
It couldn't.
Going forward, I would beat New England. Look, they're going to be Super Bowl contenders sooner than later. I mean, if you look at some of the – do they need an X receiver? Yes, I agree with you, Woody. They need a one. To help Mac Jones out, you got the tight ends, you got your gadget guy, your Jacoby Myers there, right? So get him a legit one. But on that defensive side of the ball, you know how much Bill wants to stop the ball and stop the run and whatnot. Christian Barmore is their most underrated draft pick this year. Barmore is probably going to be a stud for years to come going forward. So look out for that name there. I think New England's in a good spot going forward for the future.
They were missing him on Sunday, and you could see that in the run game.
Yeah.
Right. The run game, that's just stop that and don't. Yeah, I mean, that's really what killed him in this game, ultimately.
Before we move on from this game, we got to start talking about Dawson Knox as one of the best red zone threats in the league, right? This man constantly has like 2 TD games just abusing people in the red zone. Not always the greatest yardage wise, but come red zone, Josh Allen, that's been his number one red zone target this year.
Now he's Dawson Knox is a really good tight end. He's a really good tight end. I mean, I think I want to say he's inconsistent, but part of that could just be the offense that he's in. You know, when they throw him the ball, and as you said, in the red zone, he does put up numbers. So it's a good weapon to have on their offense. Every good offense needs a good tight end.
Eagles, Bucks. We're not gonna spend too much time on this one. 31-15. This game was not as close as the score. It was 31-0. And then they scored 2 touchdowns.
I tried to watch it. I tried to watch it, and I watched a lot of it, but I really couldn't get into it just because we knew what was going to happen. Yeah. I think the spread was 8.5. I thought Philly would.
I picked that confidently.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Bucks jumped on them hardcore, and they forced Hurts to throw it, and that was their game plan. Yep. Put him behind the 8-ball quick.
And it's really that easy. Jalen Hurts does not throw a pretty deep ball. Does not.
Well, the Eagles want to run the ball. They're they ran for the most yards since week 6 of any NFL team. So, I mean, they were on a roll doing that. So the Bucks took that away.
Boston Scott was on fire, and then they just didn't give him the ball.
I mean,
and then his first carry scored a touchdown.
Those guys, they panicked.
Yeah. No, that's real. Eagles next year. Is Jalen Hurts the starter going into next year?
I think so.
Quarterback battle in camp? Minshew versus Hurts?
No.
Minshew's a backup. Maybe. Or they trade him.
I could see there being something to that.
Yeah, man.
To push Hurts a little more.
Yeah, I could see that too. And that's it's kind of a slippery slope, right? Because sometimes you want that push for your starting quarterback, but sometimes you don't want that, because if you have a quarterback that looks over his shoulder too often and not looking forward, then that, you know, promotes other problems. So
you end Hurts up with what happened before, to your though. Last quarterback.
He has.
Hurts, if anybody can handle it, it's him.
That's true.
Yeah.
He just has to improve as a passer. Great leader. He has the intangibles. Yeah. Just on the deep routes, improve his arm strength, and he'll be okay. He essentially just finished his rookie year. So, yeah. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, going into next year, he has to be the starter. Why would you take that away from him? You know, if he doesn't deserve to be the starter in Philly going into next year, then Mac Jones doesn't deserve to be the starter in New England going into next year. Like,
that means Deshaun Watson was picked up by the Eagles.
Right?
And he didn't get put on the exemption list. Yeah. I don't know. I think the biggest story out of this game is Tristan Wirfs, personally.
Oh, yeah, that's huge. That was a huge loss.
If that ankle's not ready to go, that guy weighs 300-plus pounds. There's no way. Like, if he can't go, I don't think the Bucks won't make it past.
Brady's one weakness is getting in his face. That's the two Super Bowls he's lost.
He's lost so many weapons already, and I know he's Tom Brady, but he's 44, okay? And
he doesn't look like he's 44, man.
I just don't know if he can do it.
Yeah, Brady's dead.
Pieces missing. When there's weapons around him,
he's done.
Confidence shouldn't waver in Tom Brady, but when there's not weapons, when Godwin's out and AB is out now, now your right tackle, arguably your best lineman go down. That's tough to overcome. Lenny isn't there. I mean, it's tough.
Their center got hurt too.
Lenny, I've seen that too. Yep.
Yeah, that was early.
They're so dinged up. If Wirfs can go and he's healthy, like obviously he's going to be questionable all week, but that's the biggest story going forward. I think Lenny will be back this week, but I mean, you're going against Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald, like
just that safety valve.
Aaron Donald and Von Miller. What do you want? Yep. Like if you don't trust some Wirfs, you might as well pack it up and go home.
Oh, or your center, especially if you want to run downhill, and but then you don't have the running back to do that.
Pressure up the middle. Pressure up the middle with Aaron Donald is exactly how to fluster Brady, because when you make him get outside the pocket, that's where things go.
Yeah, he can't step into a clean pocket and make the
throw. It's going to be interesting. Like the ramp, it's going to be interesting.
49ers at Cowboys. Man.
Do we need to talk about silence?
Hell of a game. Sorry your season ended like that, C. That was a rough one to watch.
What? CJ's not a Cowboys fan.
15 penalties.
All
smile through the pain, C. Smile through the pain.
I mean, get rid of McCarthy.
That's it. That's the solution.
Look, before we even get that far into it, when you commit 15 penalties, you don't deserve to win, okay? Part of football and part of being a good team is being a disciplined team. Yep. Dallas was not that. I said it a month ago that, we got to call them contenders because we look at their record, we look at what they've done this year. But I said, I don't think these guys are legit contenders. They have all the talent in the world. I think they have the correct coaching staff in place. But they are not disciplined enough. And I know you guys are making faces. Look, I didn't want Mike McCarthy there. I can't put it all on him. He's not the reason. The
penalties.
The Dallas Cowboys lost this game. Now, we can look at it from a discipline standpoint. But look, we're coaching adults here. All right, these are grown men. Mike McCarthy can't tell Randy Gregory, hey, stop jumping off sides.
Yeah.
He can't tell his nose tackle on a big third down play, don't put your hands in the guy's face.
It's about getting the players focused and dialed in. That's
both those coaches. I remember both those. Two or three of those moments. Gregory jump off twice?
Yep, he did.
You've been on the bandwagon of the Cowboys being an undisciplined football team since they played the Chargers. You and I both said that week. It was like this is two teams that are incredibly talented and they play the worst brand of undisciplined football you can watch.
Yeah.
It was penalty after penalty and it came down to the wire, which is exactly what happened this past weekend. The Cowboys are like, you hit it right on the head. As much as I don't like Mike McCarthy and I thought it was a McCarthy-Shanahan matchup and Shanahan wins that every time, like CJ, you're right. They just do not play disciplined football.
For sure.
Hey, look, Shanahan's offense was looking really nice for most of that game.
Yeah.
Bro,
And I'll be honest with you, he was working the linebackers, man. He knows that the aggressiveness of the linebackers, that first step, getting them off balance, moving Garoppolo around, the run game, the whole nine, it all works so well.
I will say that tackle by Vander Esch to stop the first down on that last drive.
That was a big play.
That's a very impressive tackle. I saw Michael Parsons make some adjustments, and I saw him make some incredible plays, whereas he was making mistakes earlier in the game. And I'm like, man, that's impressive.
When Micah tracked Debo on that reverse all the way to the other side of the field and stopped him from getting the first down, that play, like, no one even mentioned how athletic you got to be.
And it was just a five-yard gain.
Yeah.
You're thinking, oh, he only got five. Without that tackle or making that play out there, that could have been bigger.
Look. It comes down to this. You can't go into a 10-0 hole halfway through the first quarter in a playoff game and expect to win, right? You can't come into a game, and we knew the 49ers would come out, try to run it, try to punch Dallas in the mouth, right? Everyone knew it. Everyone on the pod knew it. Everyone on ESPN knew it. Everyone on the Dallas Cowboys sideline, organization, front office, everybody knew it. And for the 49ers to be able to come into Dallas, a home game, and be able to punch them in the mouth when they were expecting to be punched in the mouth, like, that's my issue with Mike McCarthy, okay? And I'm not ready to say he should be fired, but I do take issue with that, because it's like, hey, all week you're hearing about the bully at school, Friday 3:15, he gonna beat you up. And all week
you
just
let down.
You didn't work out. You didn't go to the gym, lift some weights, man. Spar a little bit. You just went out there and just got your ass beat.
I mean, he's never been a great game planner. Like, we've known that about Mike McCarthy the entire time. I'm surprised he didn't snatch the play calling from Kellen Moore, right? Like that.
Should we talk about that final play, Nate?
I mean, honestly, like, I think this comes down to the discipline aspect that CJ brought up. I don't want to go further than that. I think CJ mentioned it in our group test. He said Dak went too far. He didn't get down soon enough. And the undisciplined part of that comes in when Dak didn't know that he had to find the official, hand him the ball so it could be spotted. The fact that didn't happen.
Yeah, I just want to say that there's a handful of other moments in the game that you can always point to that led to them losing outside of that one play. Sure. You always have to have that perspective, I guess.
Yeah, I don't ever. I mean, obviously, I know that's been getting a lot of, clicks in the media, that last play. But like you said, Brandon, it's not where the game was lost at. And let's be honest. Let's say they did clock it and you do get one play from the 25. The chances of them completing the pass for a touchdown is probably less than 10%. I mean, which beats, the percentages of a successful Hail Mary, so I get it. Now, Nate, you're right. The discipline in that is handing the ball to the official, but the discipline in that is also knowing, okay, we don't have 16 seconds, we only have 14. And instead of getting the 15 yards and get down at the 25, maybe I just need to pick up the first, get 7 or 8 yards, and then get down, because then they would have had more time to clock it. So, I mean, Dak Prescott, I think, got a little too excited with all the green grass in front of him instead of just getting down.
I see that too. I have two points, but I know we got to move on. One, CJ, I think you're right on the discipline as far as that, but like, it was second and one. You're only getting two plays off. Play the boundary on the first play. Maybe pick up that 15 on the boundary, and then take a shot at the end zone.
They
maybe
were guarding. They were giving you everything in the middle on
exactly.
Purpose. So throw a slant to the middle or something inside. Get down real quick. Clock
it. Well, look, the consecutive plays that Dallas ran to get to that position was. It was amazing.
They were moving the ball. I'm like,
they game planned for that. And like, it was, they made three or four plays that picked them up, 30, 40 yards just like that. Right. And then after that was when kind of, things just kind of fell apart. But you got to understand, 40 seconds left, you got to drive the length of the field. Chances are slim to none for no matter who it is. Right. Yeah. When you need a touchdown. So
the second point I want to bring up, I know Woody touched on it earlier, Jimmy Garoppolo's shoulder injury. I know we kind of brushed it off, but if you watch the ball he threw on that fourth quarter interception, that was arguably the worst ball I've seen all season.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It, like, and if his shoulder can't go, like, I'm a little worried. I mean, they're not going to play Trey Lance, but still. Like, that's a concern.
Something to think about that we'll touch on when we preview next week's games real quick. Fred Warner might miss next game. But one thing I was impressed about as we move on was Nick Bosa wasn't playing in the game and how much they got to Dak Prescott. That was it was crazy. Yeah. That without their best pass rusher.
Another thing that pissed me off. They don't, Bosa said the tackles were beatable next week.
They should have Nick Bosa next week. He had a concussion. All right. Steelers, Chiefs. Man, honestly, I got nothing to say here. This is exactly what we thought would happen. Steelers got a defensive touchdown.
Who we thought they were.
Ben Roethlisberger's out here saying they didn't have a chance. Najee Harris tagging him on Instagram. You saw that?
No, I didn't see that. You gotta send that to me.
He legitimately said, "We don't have a chance. We're just gonna go out there and have fun." I was like,
"Did you?" And Najee Harris screen captured this. He said, "N-word, what?"
That's Najee Harris, though, man. That's the funny. That's he's funny.
And if you've ever heard Najee Harris talk, if you say that in his voice, that's hilarious. I mean, you guys can't say that in your head.
Can I? Honestly, if I'm Mike Tomlin and I'm my quote unquote starting quarterback says that to the press, I bench you. I don't care.
Yeah, but look, this is the thing.
Whatever. We'll run with Mason. I don't want the quote unquote leader of my football team doing that.
Big Ben has more equity in that organization than Mike Tomlin does. Unfortunately,
100%. Yeah. They stuck with this man through a sexual assault.
they ain't standing with Mike Tomlin's black ass through a sexual assault charge.
No. that's damn straight though.
Let's, he has a beard.
It's the Rooney rule for a reason.
Oh my! All right.
I'm just saying. It is.
Oh man.
So, the Chiefs looked great. Jared McKinnon, here's what I'd like to talk about.
No. Did Andy Reid look great?
I disagree with that. They scored 42 points.
They look good enough to win.
All
right. The Chiefs, it was 0-0 at the end of the first.
And they still scored 42 points.
No, timeout. We've always known that, like, if we're looking at this analytically, I'm concerned about the Chiefs. Yes, we've always known they're a blow-the-top-off-the-defense explosive team. Bills aren't going to let them do that. Neither are the Bucks. Like, any team they're going to play down the road has the ability to keep that offense off the field.
Well,
they're not going to be able to do that.
With their new secret weapon, I have a sneaking suspicion that Andy held this man out until the very end of the year, let him get some reps. And Jerick McKinnon is looking like the piece to that offense that's been missing all season. That speed out of the backfield was game-changing.
He is a perfect fit for... He's a perfect fit for
you. Don't
like,
let
the
someone take number one just
run.
To sit on the sideline all season.
he's what CEH is not. He has the extra gear. He has that. Yeah.
Now the funny thing about this, Nate, is look, it's on wax. We know you've never specifically said it, but we know you're not that fond of Kansas City, man, and Patrick Mahomes.
I'll say it right now. Like, I don't think the Chiefs are as good as they were, and I think they've kind of gotten figured out. And I think that's why they struggled in the middle of the season. They played really good teams that could stop them.
But you know what? They adjusted. They saw what teams were doing. A lot of too high, a lot of dink and dunk. We got to just, drive the ball down the field, 10, 12 play drive. And I think Kansas City have figured that out. I think they'll be able to take it to Buffalo. That matchup will be good. Are they playing this week coming up, or do they have?
They play this week.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay.
That's going to determine the AFC champion.
Because, look, I don't know if Buffalo's offense can stay on schedule. And we saw them stay on schedule this past week versus New England. But if we look at the totality of the 17 games that they've played this year, that offense has issues with staying on schedule. Josh Allen has to do special things sometimes. And
I think the one thing that's different from this year to last year, and I know we're going to preview that later this week, but Josh Allen is better, and that the Buffalo defense is significantly better.
I mean, Micah Hyde is.
Oh, yeah.
I would have been with you on that earlier this season. I'm not sure. Look, the Bills defense is better. I'm not arguing that. I'm arguing that they're not significantly better than Kansas City. Because since then, Since early in the season, we saw Buffalo defense regress. Might I add, New England beat them just throwing the ball three times because they ran it for over 200 yards on them. We saw Tennessee beat Buffalo down earlier this year. So, I mean, I'm going to argue. And then we saw the Chiefs defense get better, ascended. Getting Chris Jones back, moving them back to the interior, you know, adding Melvin Ingram. So I would just say this. Kansas City's defense is better, too. Not as good as Buffalo. But this is ultimately, this is going to be a really good game this weekend. This is going to be a really good game.
Rookie linebacker Nick Bolton, too.
Nick Bolton,
like an unsung hero, especially in a rookie not a lot of people talk about.
There you go.
If you had to pick between Kansas City, like compare Kansas City's defense to New England's defense. New England's defense is significantly better, both on paper and on the field and execution.
Not against the run.
I think with KC, I don't know, that's Kansas City. Yeah, Kansas City up front right now, they've played so much better.
Yeah.
I mean, but
Chris Jones is healthy. That's what happened.
That's why.
He's such a difference maker.
But you're right in a way, Nate, in regards to that. But the Patriots got exposed in a big-time way.
Yeah.
Cardinals and Rams. This game was a blowout from the beginning. They jumped out to 21-0. I think that all of us loved what we saw from the Rams last night, getting OBJ involved. OBJ with the trick play, with the good pass. They looked great. They were solid.
Best passer on that team.
The story, though, here is the Cardinals and their meteoric fall from grace in the second half of the season. I mean, they lost DeAndre Hopkins. Rodney Hudson's been banged up. James Conner got banged up. Kyler Murray just hasn't looked the same in the second half of the season since he got hurt.
No.
What do the Cards do here? I mean, Cliff flipped this franchise around. He turned it back. But sometimes there's a term for a coach, a perfect example of a coach in the NBA that does this, Scott Skiles. Scott Skiles gets hired to coach a young team, builds up the young team, builds up the rookies, and he gets them to about 500. But that's the best Scott Skiles can do because he wears on players. They get too used to him. And then he's gotten let go from like four different jobs for the next guy to come in and take that team to the playoffs. So he flipped it halfway. But they need someone else to take them to the next
level. So basically what you're saying is Cliff Kingsbury is like a fluffer, right? Mm-hmm. So you're basically saying he can have the jobs to where like, hey, we're not that good. We need you to develop the roster. But as soon as the roster gets good, we're going to hire, you know, old boy over here to take us to next.
Exactly. Brian Daboll.
I mean, let's be real. This guy, like, he went 6-14 with Patrick Mahomes in college. Like, let's think about it.
I know, right? And look, it's no excuses. Who is he throwing it to? Look, he's in Texas. Don't tell me you can't get guys down there in Texas that can run some routes.
There's
and catch
10
some
guys in
for
the
Patrick
stands
Mahomes.
That could run.
Yeah, they're all waiting. Give me a Scully.
Hell yeah.
I'll walk on. I mean, I'll pay.
I don't know. Cliff, I think I kind of get the feel that y'all think Cliff is on the hot seat. Do y'all think that?
I don't think he is. That's the problem. I think they stick by him because I feel neither. In the NFL, it's not as like, well, okay, we'll cut the coach. There's a dime a dozen of coaches. In the NFL, it's like you find a coach, you stick with him. You let him work.
I think it's more about who's available, too. Right. Yeah. Like if they feel they have a beat on somebody that they would like, especially an offensive mind,
I think he deserves to stay.
Let's be real. Cliff Kingsbury is the only college coach that has really worked out like that, technically, like flipping a franchise around in a long time.
Yeah.
In college, better in the NFL.
The thing about it is, Cliff has aged a lot in the last 3 years. I saw him in an interview yesterday.
That's why he got the blonde tips.
Yeah. I'm like, he ain't getting no sleep. You see the bags under his eyes. Man.
That's the way it goes.
It ain't like college, but I don't know. I think he deserves to stay. And you know, we'll kind of see. I think we can really judge him based off of whether he takes Arizona to new heights or not. If he can take him to the play, he doesn't have to win a Super Bowl, but if he can consistently take them to the playoffs and win a game here and there, he'll be fine. But if it's a lot of this getting to the playoffs, one and done, he'll be out in a few years.
Yeah, I think the expectation is that with Kyler Murray, though, you got to get to the Super Bowl.
All right, we're flipping to the matchups for next week, guys. Bengals at Titans. Tennessee is favored by 3.5. They will be getting Derrick Henry back.
Oh, in Tennessee?
Mm-hmm.
Fresh D. Henry. I'm going Tennessee, man. I mean, what's the spread?
3.5.
Bengals. Give me Tennessee.
Yeah. I'm taking Tennessee.
I'm going Bengals.
I'm going Bengals.
That's fine.
I think Bengals by a touchdown, actually.
Yeah, Derrick Henry's going to run all over those fools.
Yeah.
Jamar Chase might run all over those fools, remember what Tennessee's secondary
looks like?
They played better in the second half.
They have.
My thing, and that's the reason why I'm going to go Tennessee here. We'll say Derrick Henry. Look, I think Derrick Henry's going to have his impact. But Mike Vrabel, what he's been able to do with that defense, you're going against a young quarterback, an offense that, look, put up numbers, but they have had inconsistency issues this year. I expect Vrabel to put a game plan together and, you know, be able to slow down that Cincinnati Bengal offense. Muck it up. Make it an ugly game. That's what Tennessee's good at doing.
Does this game solidify the coach of the year?
Yes.
Oh, hell yeah.
100%. This is the coach of the year bowl, for sure.
I think it's already solidified. But yeah.
49ers at Packers. Aaron Rodgers going up against his childhood favorite team.
Oh, man. I think he wanted to be traded to them, right?
Yeah, he did for a while.
It's payback time.
Said, nah,
baby. You're going to trade all those picks for a rookie who you're not even going to play, and you're probably going to re-sign Garoppolo. I'm just going to drop bombs on your head all game long over it. He's probably mad and slighted. This could be like the swan song type of situation for him. If he wanted to retire and never play again, I'm going to play this through.
It's a rematch, though. Green Bay, they might have a little chip on their shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
A couple years ago, they played against the same 49er team, roughly the same, and they put up 300 yards rushing on them.
Oh, yeah.
Killed them.
Ooh.
So,
Raheem Mostert.
So, Green Bay,
ooh,
they're going to come in.
They could
this.
Come out there and give them that same thing. It might not even be Aaron Rodgers in the cold.
What's the spread?
Yeah.
Y'all are really going to take San Francisco as a cold advantage over Green Bay?
No, I'm not. Okay, what's the spread, Woody?
I will take the mentor over the mentee, though.
The spread is minus 5.5, Green Bay.
Wait, so the Niners getting 5?
I'll take the Niners to cover, but I think Green Bay wins the game.
Yeah, I like with that spread, I like the Niners to cover, but I think Green Bay will win, too.
I think the 49ers run all over this Green Bay defense again, and I think that the Niners win the game outright.
It's hard to stop, man, even when you know it's coming, you know? Like, some of the
stuff
that they
do is so good.
They don't have a Micah Parsons
to cover Deebo Samuel.
No, they've got a good it is, you're
right.
There's
a difference between good and Micah Parsons.
He was a rookie, and he definitely got exposed a little bit. Like, he wasn't ready for what they were bringing.
Rookies are
name another
be a
player that can cover Deebo on that reverse.
All right, cool. The Niners have Deebo.
And Elijah Mitchell. He's
got Devontae Samuel.
Devontae Adams.
Right. No, sorry, I mean, the matchup is solid in that regard. I just think the 49ers will be able to run the ball. That's going to be it for them.
You know who the Niners didn't have and weren't using when they played earlier this season? They weren't playing Elijah Mitchell wasn't starting. They weren't using Deebo like they are now. Brandon Ayuk was not on fire the way he is now. Like the nine
Packers hadn't started using AJ Dillon either to wear down.
This was a field goal game
in the cold.
Yeah. AJ Dillon in the cold? That's a big boy.
I don't want to do that.
AJ Dillon does scare me.
So look, Nate, you think the Niners are gonna take this one home?
Yeah,
I dig it. Okay,
I think they can. I love it.
I missed you, Nate. I love it, man. Hell yeah.
Am I the only Niners pick? Oh, shit.
Yeah, I'm going Packers.
No, Brandon, I would go. I'll go Niners.
I think the 49ers.
I thought that they would beat the Cowboys.
Yeah, no. That's what I thought, too.
You did, Brandon? I can't be a part of this podcast. No, no, I'm joking.
I think I might have took them in the points, but still felt confident that they could do it.
Rams versus Buccaneers. Thanks. Man, we got some good games on Sunday. This is going to be interesting. The Bucks are giving away 3 points.
Are you kidding me? Does Vegas know something that we don't?
When you say giving away, that means the Bucks are favored?
Yeah, the Correct. Bucks are favored by three.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, because it's at Tampa, LA has to, you know, 4 hour Tom plane Brady. Ride.
Yeah, but like, I don't like having to pick this game before I know what's gonna happen. Tristan Wirfs and Leonard Fournette.
Not look, I'm taking Rams all day. Rams
all day,
all day. And you know what? Because Tampa Bay is so depleted on the offensive end, I think if Arians and Bowles, if they really want a game plan and scheme for, excuse me, not Arians and Bowles, but if McVay and that Rams defense really want to scheme for this Tampa Bay offense, you'll take Jalen Ramsey and you'll shadow him on whatever Tom Brady's biggest binky is that day.
Mike Evans is usually, well, this past week.
But look, is it Mike? Because I don't think.
Going to be Gronk.
I think Mike, exactly. Yeah. Thank you, Nate.
Honestly, this is a Gronk situation.
That might be the matchup where you want to put Ramsey on
right there.
Gronk.
This is a Scotty Miller game. I'm letting you know right now. This is a game where Scotty Miller might actually be the leading targets, receptions, and yards.
Probably Brady's been liking Tyler Johnson.
But yeah, I was going to say Tyler Johnson as well. But look, all of that works in the Rams' favor. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Now,
if we're talking about non-difference makers getting the targets.
Exactly. If Scotty Miller goes for 7 catches, 120 yards, it probably means because Mike Evans and Gronk weren't open. You see what I'm saying? So, if that stuff is extra, you're in trouble.
Non-difference makers. Was James White considered a guy who was going to be a difference maker against Atlanta when he should have probably been the MVP in that Super Bowl?
Yeah, seriously. Really.
I think this is. I'm going to take the Bucks.
Well, we're not even talking about the best thing that got added to the Rams repertoire is they got two powerful running backs. I mean, Cam Akers put Buda Baker.
Oh, yeah, Michelle. What was that? The first play of the game, Michelle went 36 yards.
Get well soon, Buda Baker.
I can't even. Yeah, I was so, like, ice cold takes. Nate said, was it preseason? Cam Akers never going to be good at football again.
Yeah.
I do not know what they fed
and he
that
took
human.
That personally.
He had a Buda fully Baker torn Achilles.
6 months.
He had a fully torn Achilles, and
that's
that
a bad man right there, man.
That's not common, though. Obviously, that's going to happen.
I was like, he's never going to play football. Like,
hey, look, fellas. Even during the game, and this is messed up. I'm watching it, and I'm waiting for him to get hurt.
Oh, 100%.
Because I'm like, yo, ain't no way. He's 100%. Like, something's going to happen.
He looked better than 100%.
Yeah.
He looked fresh. He was fast. He was explosive. I'm like, what the heck? This gives them a two-headed monster for a play-action offense. It's just, it's very valuable to have two.
But again, too.
Is Daryl Henderson
Thank you, Brandon.
Back?
Go ahead.
He's still on IR, but he'll be back.
I know
the Bucks know this offensive style in and out, right? So you have to differentiate from what you just did.
They're not running on Tampa Bay.
They're not going to let them run. They're going to put them behind
them. The one thing about Arizona was, and we always said it, well, I think you can run it on them, right? To the point where I stopped saying it because they just kind of proved me wrong. And then here we go in the postseason, and it's like, oh, they were who I thought they were. I just kind of came off of it. The Rams were able to run on them. And just like any other team, if you stick with the run game against a team that does not play well against the run, you're going to start to get some leeway. Sometimes these new age coordinators, they give up on the run too early. Yeah. They just give up way too early.
I think the key to this game is going to be the Bucs defense. The only way that the Bucs are going to come out of this matchup ahead is going to be the Bucs putting pressure on Matthew Stafford. You have to force him to regress to Matthew Stafford as a Lions quarterback. And what he, like, you have to put pressure on him. You have to get to him. You have to hit him early. You have to make him second guess himself. Or you got to make him sling the rock in really dumb ways.
They have the weapons.
No, you got to throw it on first down. Throw it on first down, run it on second down, and mix it up. You can't be obvious. Run on first, play action second, you know, stuff like that.
Bills Chiefs. Final matchup of the weekend. This is, man, what a weekend of football this is going to be. So many good games. Bills Chiefs, final one Sunday. Mahomes versus Allen. The Chiefs are giving away 2 points.
At home? Wow.
Yeah, I'm taking the Chiefs.
Well, I'm not taking the Chiefs.
I'm taking the Chiefs too. Even though earlier this year, when they, I believe they faced the Bills and they actually lost.
They did.
So yeah, I,
at Kansas City too, if I'm not mistaken.
If they can run the ball, give me the Bills.
If there's 8 or 9 head coaching jobs out there, Eric Bieniemy is ready. He wants one. He's going to coach his ass off this week. I just feel it. And it's really a competition between him and Brian Daboll, because Daboll is going to get a head coaching job. It's either going to be the Jaguars or one of these teams that...
But Andy Reid be calling the plays.
I think Bieniemy has a lot more input than most people. And he's in it all the time. It's like, I hate to refer to this, but Michigan's offensive coordinator right now did the same thing at Alabama with another guy as a co-coordinator. Listen, and this year he finally shined, right? Harbaugh lets him call the plays. He's let him do it. He grew over the past couple years. Bieniemy, there's no doubt about it. That guy, he's heard it. He understands the situations, and Andy Reid is the mentor. He's ready. Just like, look, McVay, all these other guys, LaFleur, all from the Shanahan tree. Why can't Bieniemy be from, you know, the Andy Reid tree and have his opportunity in that same way?
I'll rock with you on that, Brandon. I agree 1,000%. I think he's seasoned. He's ready. He's been that way for a few years.
But nobody's even talking about him.
He's not sexy.
Nobody's talking about him anymore. Everybody's given up on him.
I think he's sexy.
Not to even mention, I like to do my recon, right? Because sometimes I don't know who these guys are. Eric Bieniemy, former player. Not nepotism at all. Former running back at a high level.
He was at Colorado?
Colorado, yep.
Yep.
Exactly.
And he coached in college first, right? I can't remember. I did some research on that.
So, I mean, why not have – look, if you ask me if I'm the owner, do I want a young mind? Sure, right? But I want a guy like Eric Bieniemy who's still rather young, who has the experience on the field and off the field. I mean, why not? But – Back to this matchup between Buffalo and Kansas City. Back here earlier in the season, week 5, the Bills beat Kansas City 38-20. Okay, really put it on them. Josh Allen was 15 of 26, threw for over 300 yards, 3 touchdowns. On the Kansas City side, couldn't run the ball. Their leading rusher had 27 rushing yards outside of Patrick Mahomes, who was their actual leading rusher that game. The leading receiver of that game was Mecole Hardman with 9 catches for 76 yards. I don't think we see this stuff twice. All right, Josh Allen had a good game. I don't think he'll be able to put together the same game that he put together in week 5, and it's mainly because Chris Jones is there. Melvin Ingram is there. I think it'll be a close game, but ultimately I think Kansas City will squeak this one out by a field goal.
Take away the run game.
I think
of the Bills.
I say the same thing, but flip it for the Bills. Yeah,
I've got the Bills.
I think we see a lot of Josh Allen running in this game.
I think they're going to try to take it all away, put him behind the chains. Don't separate what the Pats were unable to do, and get him uncomfortable. Throw different looks in the secondary at him. That's what they're going to do. And now you're going to see it'll be a different game. I think
Dawson Knox kind of ate him up in the first game. Dawson Knox went over 100 yards, had a touchdown. Biggest reason is Sorensen. The safety for Kansas City, he's given up quite a few deep plays here. But if you load the box, look to stop Josh Allen and that run game, double Stephon Diggs, put a man in his face and a man over the top, and then just look out for Dawson Knox. I mean, look, this Bills offense isn't scary. Josh Allen is what's scary, right?
Yeah.
That's not that I'm scared. I'd be scared of the Bills.
Offense. I'm scared of Josh Allen. His offensive line is trash. Dawson Knox is pretty good. He's not great. Stephon Diggs, one of the better receivers in the league. Running backs non-existent. Josh Allen is the machine that makes it go.
If they can run the ball, it's scary. That's for sure. It's scary.
I think we're underestimating Emmanuel Sanders. I don't think this game's close. I think Buffalo by 2 touchdowns.
Smack.
I think this is a Sean McDermott statement game that they run that the AFC runs through Buffalo.
You know, the only thing I hate that we didn't have you on when the Bills was going through their little rough patch earlier this season when they was like 7-5.
When they lost to the Jags when Josh Allen sacked Allen like four times that game.
Yeah. And the Chiefs are definitely watching that tape.
Trust me, I thought about you.
Chiefs are watching that tape. They're like, all right, what did they 100%.
This Buffalo team is this Buffalo team feels like a team of destiny. They went through that rough patch just like the Bucs did last year. And that you know what they're doing? They're peaking at the right time. They're beating quality opponents at the end of the season, and it doesn't look like they're slowing down. They're healthy. And I think we're underestimating how good the Buffalo defense is.
This is some manifestation type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Conor McGregor, straight out the book.
I think Emmanuel Sanders is going to have an absurd game.
Hear that, DFS folks?
Get your prop bets ready.
All right, guys. Well, that's wrapping up our
And if it doesn't come through, we'll send you Nate's number.
No, actually, sometimes Nate hits these things at a higher rate than most people might understand.
We still can't explain it. The science behind it, we're still trying to figure it out.
Yeah, there is no science. There is no science. I think that this is just like some weird intuition.
Jedi master power?
Nate is the science. He actually spells Nate, S-C-I-N-C-E. So
yeah, there we go.
That was weak. Anyway. I'm sorry.
Let's highlight this stat right here. Josh Allen has zero fumbles in the last 5 weeks that he's played football. He hasn't thrown a pick since Atlanta, I want to say. Hold on.
This is the thing that separates Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes for me right now. Patrick Mahomes is good for an interception game, and the Bills will take advantage of that.
Yes. And the Bills led the league in turnovers.
This game's going to be defense.
It is.
Everybody wants to see the offense. It's going to be
defense. This is going to be a super high-scoring game. The Bills are going to put up points.
I think it'll be defense because we think it's going to be offense. I think it'll be defense. But I think either team, when they need a score, that's what it's going to come down to. Can that team get them that score? I trust Kansas City. I trust Buffalo, too. I just trust Kansas City just a little bit more. Like 17-13 or 20-17 or something like that. I could see it being that.
The Bills have only scored 10 or less points twice all season.
I mean, they also led the NFL in point differential, too. But
I take it back.
When you look at it and you see that they lose to Jacksonville, is hard to justify.
They scored 6 points against Jacksonville in week 9, and then they put up 10 against New England in the absolute worst possible weather in week 13.
Statistically, Buffalo is an oxymoron, if you ask me. I mean, you don't know. It's like what's that movie? Life is like a box of chocolates. What's that? Forrest Gump. You don't know what you're going to get with Buffalo sometimes.
You're going to get, like, Buffalo's on a train. They're not stopping.
I like it. He said they on a train.
That'd be a cool
graphic to throw on. Man, I hope you're wrong, because I can't stand Bills Mafia.
Choo-choo.
All right, guys, that's going to wrap us up for our football review and preview of the playoffs this week and last week. As always, check out our YouTube channel, footballscout365.com, and check out the YouTube channel. We just did a Malik Willis from Liberty University video that's starting to blow up, get a lot of interaction in those comments, and he's probably the most volatile prospect in the draft. He's probably going to be that guy that gets a lot of airtime on ESPN come volatile. Season being over.
Okay, I had to ask you how you meant that.
What do you mean by that? Volatile. I mean, like
the black quarterback volatile, or are we talking?
I was thinking more of the running quarterback, and can he pass in the NFL? Like, a lot of people are going to have him really high, and then there's going to be a good amount of people that have
him. So, are you saying because he's automatically black, there's no question whether he runs, but whether he has the arm?
He rushed for 1,000 yards.
No, his arm is
His arm is amazing. Strong.
He's got a cannon.
But he's probably
trying to get you in a political corner.
Well, that's okay. I don't dance.
I'm trying to pull him out of it.
But no, the Malik Willis video, go check it out. We go on a scale of the best second round picks and like four players that he could reach on the echelon wise. Did a nice comparison of We started Cordell Stewart as the base.
Ooh, don't give it all away. You got to get people to listen. But I want to know what was at the top. So what was at the bottom was Cordell. What was at the top? What's his peak?
John Madden's favorite player.
Oh, there it is. Say it.
Brett Favre. Michael Vick.
Brett Favre.
Oh, okay. Okay. Interesting.
He throws a lot off the back.
We don't think of Brett Favre running around like that.
He throws a lot off the back foot.
Yeah, he is off the back foot.
Yeah.
And when Woody brought that up, I'm like, oh, that's a pretty astute observation by Woody there. That was impressive.
Yeah. Surprising, right?
Taken by Atlanta, 33rd pick in the second round.
I like that too, actually. I love that one.
Yeah. And then, so go check it out, guys. We got some good video content for you and lots more video content coming soon. This is going to be turning into a video podcast, and y'all just going to get the recording of the videos on this podcast. So go check it out. It's going to be a lot of new stuff coming. Welcome Nate back to the family. We're all there. It's going to be a good time. All right. Let the music hit.
Let the music go. Boom, boom, boom.
I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9 to 5 is something that I don't wanna do. Sit in the cube.